from Daf Beis, as most of the sifters do, but we started from Daf Ayin Gimel to get a head start. So on Daf Ayin Gimel, it starts off with a list of the Lamed Tes Tavos Melachos. Where did they get these Lamed Tes Tavos Melachos from? From thin air? The answer is no. Whatever was in the Mishkan Chashiva is called an Av. Whatever was not in the Mishkan Chashiva is not called an Av, but if it's similar to the Av, then we'll label it, we'll give it the title of the Tolda. Fine. So the Mishnah lists off all the different Melachos, so we already... You're skipping, hopping, jumping, we got tzad. If you hunt an animal, where did they do tzedah in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, tzad chalazim. So, elim yadomim, they had oris elim yadomim, oris chashim, so they had a hunt the tachash, they had a hunt the elim, they had a hunt the chalazim. So that's, there was tzedah in the Mishkan. Then the Gemara discusses, Tana Rabbanon, and Ayin Hamed Aleph, tzad chalazim, is in violation of tzedah. And what about when he squeezes out the chalazon has a gland? When you squeeze it out, that's what Tosfos points out. You're not squeezing out the blood of the chalazon. If you would be squeezing out the blood, then it would be hadam hu anefesh. Squeezing out the blood itself would be chovel. If you cause an animal to bleed, that's what Tosfos quotes from the opening Mishnah in Perek Shmon Shrotzi. That if you cause any balchai to bleed, the hemachai v'yev to bleed, so that's a violation of chabura. What is chabura? Chavola. What is Chavola? Chavola is not one of the Lamed Tes Tavos Melachos. So there were three explanations given by the Rishonim. So Rashi on that Mishnah, the first pshat in Rashi on the Mishnah is that the prohibition involved in making a black and blue mark is Tzaveya. Yeah, that's making black and blue mark. What if you cut the skin and it bleeds and the blood goes out? That's a Gemara Chulin. That's for sure also. And all animals, so that's not Tzaveya. The blood goes out. Rashi doesn't explain that. Rashi says if you make a black and blue mark, it's Tzaveya. Then the Rambam says the prohibition is Disha, like squeezing out juice from Zeisim HaNavim and so on. So here also you're causing bleeding. And Tosfos says no, neither. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi, they don't like the Rambam. No, nothing to do with this, nothing to do with that. It's a form of Netilas Neshama. And the Acharonim point out that that's what it says in the Yerushalmi in Perek Vav. Even though Tosfos doesn't quote it, the Yerushalmi says like that. What has it got to do with Netilas Neshama? If I shoot someone, if I murder someone, that's Netilas Neshama. If I kill an animal, that's Netilas Neshama. If I cause bleeding, well, what's Netilas Neshama? So Tosfos comes up with a pasuk, Ki Adamu Anefesh, that since the blood keeps the animal alive, the circulatory system keeps the animal alive, and you take out some of the blood, so if you would cause the whole circulatory system to stop functioning, I understand that's Netilas Neshama. But he didn't do that. He only caused a little bleeding. So Tosfos says, well, that blood is now dead. The blood is dead, but the organism is not dead. So Tosfos came up with the expression, Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalga. That was an expression he showed the Rashi later, quotes the Gemara Nida. The Gemara is speaking there exactly about this. The Dam Chalolim Yishter. It says in Nevuah's Bilom, Harasha, in Parshas Balak, he says, Dam Chalolim Yishter. He's talking about the Jews are going to be successful in their military campaign to conquer Eretz Yisrael against the enemies, and they're going to drink the Christian blood. It doesn't mean they're going to drink the blood, it means they're going to kill the enemy. They're going to be successful in killing the enemy. So, but because the Chumash, it could be that Bilam never said this expression. It could be that he said it in a different expression. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever the Chumash quotes somebody saying something, doesn't necessarily mean that. That's the way Lavan said, and that's what Yaakov Avinu said, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. When Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it like this. So Moshe Rabbeinu records that the gist of what Bilam HaRasha said was, V'dam Chalol Mishnah, so we derive a halacha from this. It doesn't mean that Bilam HaRasha said, Dam Chalol Mishnah, we're deriving from Bilam's Nevuah. Could be that Bilam said it in a different language, and you can't, what he said is a Nevuah, high level of Nevuah, fine, but it's not Torah. That's what the Gemara says in Bava Basra in the first parak. The Gemara lists off what are the Chof Dalet Sifri Atanach. So the Gemara says, Moshe Kasev Sifro uParshas Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Chumash with the Parshas Bilam also. So on the side of the Gemara, they refer you to look in the Shalah, in the Sefer Shalah Kodesh, where he's bothered with the Kasha, Parshas Bilam is part of the Chamish and Chumash Torah. So if you say that Moshe Kasev Sifro, obviously he wrote Parshas Bilam also. What's the Chiddush Moshe Kasev Sifro who Parshas Bilam? So some say Parshas Bilam is some other Sefer, but we don't have it in the Tanakh. So why does the Gemara mention it? Moshe Kasev Sifro, he wrote another book that was lost, that's somewhere available in some library in the Middle East. What did the Gemara write? The Gemara is talking about the Kisvei HaKadosh, 24 Svarim in Tanakh. So Pashim Shani goes on Parshas Bilam. So what's the significance of saying Moshe Kasav Sifra Parshas Bilam? That's what they quote from Avel Vasal Beitchik. What it means is that the Medrash says on the closing pasuk in Chumash, "Lakom Navi Abi Yisrael Kamosha Shedo Hashem Panim Alpanim," etc. So the Sifrei comments on that pasuk, "Lakom Navi Abi Yisrael." Among the Jewish people, there never was such a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Adon Anavim. There's no one equal to him. But in the Umas Olam, there was someone who has such a high level of Navi, namely Bilam Harosha. So one might have thought. One might have argued the point and said that just like we have a right to darshan with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpan from the text of the Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down, perhaps he can darshan from the Nevuas of Bilam HaRosha as well. So that's what the Gemara says wrong. Moshe Kasav Sifra Parshas Bilam. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Parshas Bilam, it was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter. From that time on it became a Chefetz of Torah. And it wasn't necessarily dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word the same way Bilam HaRosha said it. Could be he didn't speak in Hebrew Bichla. Could be he spoke Moavi language or some other language. What Paro spoke in Hebrew, Paro spoke Egyptian. And the Chumash quotes what he said is not necessarily a literal translation at all of what Paro said. So here also, it could be that this is not what Bilam HaRosha said. It could be that he said the Jews will be successful in all of their campaigns to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, write down, the Dam Chalol and Yishtas. So the Gemara learns out a halacha from that, because Moshe Rabbeinu, Kosav Sifra, Parshas Bilam. It was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, so that has a chef, it became a Chefetz of Torah, and it lends itself to the drushes of the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpan. So the Gemara learns out that Dam Chalol and Dam Shanashama Yotzebo has a din of a mashkef. There is a Zayin mashkef that a machshel lekabel tumah. So Dam Shanashama Yotzebo is machshel lekabel tumah. If he rinsed off an apple, so it's not huchshel lekabel tumah. So the Gemara says maybe it's only dam shanashama yotze, but what if it's dam magofa? What if a person is bruised and he's bleeding a little bit? So the Gemara says, Rashi later quotes the Gemara, Nida says, mali kotla kula, mali kotla palgo, that since the blood keeps the organism alive, and if all the blood system will collapse, the whole circulatory system will collapse, the organism will be dead. So even if a little blood comes out, that's also ki adam hu anefesh. So we say malikot lepalga, malikot gula, malikot lepalga. So Tosfos borrows that expression from the Gemara Nida, and they apply it over here as well. That if you cause a black and blue mark to develop, or you cut the organism till it bleeds a little bit, that's the Gemara in Chulin. So then there's a violation of shochet, the violation of the tilis neshama, because ki adam hu anefesh. Fine. That's a generally accepted opinion from the three shitas. What's wrong with chayvel? Why is there a malacha if Yechevel bebehem achai v'yoyfa b'yodom? So the Rashi talks about Tzaveya, and the Rambam talks about Disha. So the more popular sheet is the Tesis, because that's what it says in Yerushalmi. That is in Tilis Neshama. So Tesis was bothered with Akasha. Keechad deleitzel sivei. Second Tesis in the bottom. The Gemara talks about squeezing out the blood from the halazon, the whole pilpul. The lechayv nami mishum the Tilis Neshama. Tesis, that's mamish in Tilis Neshama. Squeezing out the blood, ki adam hu anefesh, he says no. He's squeezing out the tchelis is not the blood. The tchelis is from a gland. It's like a packet inside the chalazon that saves all of this liquid. It's not the blood that keeps the chalazon alive. If you squeeze out blood, that's ki adam hu anefesh, that's malikot lekula malikot palgo, that's intilis neshama. And over here is a different thing. That's what the Rabbi Natami said. The Riz Kashi said that over here, the tchelis is mifkid pocket. The tchelis is a liquid that's sitting there. This is not the blood that circulates. Ki adam on average that keeps the organism alive. This is sitting there. Where did the Rabbi Natami get this expression, dam mifkid pocket? This is not dam. This is tchelis is not dam. He got it. There's a Gemara in the first parak. That's clearly what he's alluding to. There's a Gemara in the first parak in Exubis, and the previous Tesis quotes it. And Daf Hayam Beis in Exubis. Dam chibur mecheber, dam mifkid pocket. The Gemara discusses when a couple gets married, so the first time they're going to have birishayna, there's going to be dam besulim coming out. So is it permissible to have the birishayna on Shabbos, or do you have to be concerned about a malacha, namely of chayvel, that you're causing dam besulim to come out? So the Gemara says, well, we're not sure what's the, sounds like it's a biological suffix. We're not sure about the nature of the dam besulim, whether biologically it's mifkid pocket. Biologically, it's chibur and mechaber. Is this the dam sulam that comes out? Is this part of the circulatory system and the dam is going around? Or is this dam sitting there the whole time? So, yes, Rabbi Tendler? You're not sure? Rabbi Tendler published an essay about this. And the basic ask about the ask a biologist whether it's not, of course it's the circulatory system. The Dam Hanita is not the circulatory system. Dam Hanita sits there. The Dam and the endometrial lining, that sits there. That has less oxygen. The rest of the Dam in the body has more oxygen because the oxygen goes in from the lungs and it circulates around the whole body. But the Dam Nida doesn't circulate. But the Gemara is not talking about Dam Nida. The Gemara is talking about Dam Besulim. Dam Besulim is mamish regular circulatory Dam. How can the Gemara have a suffix with a Mifkid Pocket and Mechur Buri Mechema? The Rabbi Tendler published an essay that I think is Poshup Shat in Gemara like that. He explained the Gemara suffix is not a biological suffix in Metzias. Whether the Dam Besulim is part of the circulatory system. Of course it is. The Gemara is raising. See what Tosfos says here, the Rabbi Natam says that the Tchelis is Mifkid Pocket. This is Mamish a gland that has a liquid that accumulates and it sits there. Mamish Mifkid Pocket, this is not the Dam that circulates. But Dam Besulim for sure biologically is Chibur Mecheb. It's part of the circulatory system. The Gemara is Mesupik halachically. Maybe the Rabbi Shalom created women in such a way that there's always going to be Dam Besulim. So he never intended that dam that comes out, the dam sulam that comes out, should have been intended for ki adam hu anefesh. That's not to keep the person alive. The Rebbe Shalom wanted all women to have dam sulam. So that's, maybe I consider it as if it would have been mifkit pocket. Not that the Metzias is mifkit pocket. The Rabbi Natan says over here on the trelis and the halos, this is mamish mifkit pocket. This is not dam at all. It's a totally different thing. It's a different liquid. The Gemara is suffered by the Dam Sulim is maybe halachically I don't apply the klal of ki adam hu anefesh. Maybe I should treat it as if it would have been mifkid pocket. But here for sure it's mifkid pocket. So that's what the Ri and the Rabbi Natan, they took care of this issue. Why isn't squeezing out the blood itself a violation of the Tillis and Shem? That's not the Mishnah and Shmaina Shvatzim, that you're not allowed to cause choybel. So he says, no, it has nothing to do with the Dam. But the Gemara is asking, the Gemara does discuss Akasha, that squeezing out the trailers from the halozen, the liquid should be chayim shomer tilis neshama. That's a different thing. Let's say I choke a person to death. So there's no iser of tilis neshama. Only tilis neshama ki adam ho anefesh. If I take a halozen and I keep on kvetching, true, I'm not squeezing out the blood. It has nothing to do with the circulatory. I keep on kvetching the gland till I squeeze out enough trailers. Obviously, I'm going to kill the whole halozen. So the more effect akasha, but the male I'm killing the halozen. You don't have to. The only way to violate until it's a shama is by causing bleeding. If you choke a person to death, you also have. If you shoot a person, you also have mishum until it's a shama. So if you kvetch the halozen, and you're squeezing out the trailers, true, you're not causing the halozen to die because of the breakdown in the circulatory system. But bottom line, you're causing the halosim to die. So that was the Gemara's kasha. But lechayiv namim shum netilas neshama. That's the Gemara's kasha. He's tampering with the halosim in such a way. He's clearly going to hasten. Every halosim is going to die. Everybody dies. But if he hastens the person's day, instead of him dying at the age of 120, you cause him to die a little earlier. So that's ritzicha. If I cause a person to, let's say I slap a person. And by slapping him, the doctors ascertained he would, like this, he would have lived till 120. Now he died a day before his birthday. He died a minute earlier than he would have otherwise died. So if the doctors could really ascertain that, that would be considered ritzicha. It's hard to ascertain. How can you prove it? Because I slapped him now at the age of 20, so that's why he died a minute earlier than he would have. But let's say if a person smokes, or he's overweight, or he eats junk food, or whatever, and because he doesn't take care of his health, so he dies earlier than he would have otherwise died. Like this, if he would have been taken care of his health, he would have lived on and on and on. That's a violation of suicide. You cause yourself, suicide is not only if I cause myself to die right now, this second. If I do something to my body that's detrimental to my health, and it turns out that I die earlier than I would have otherwise died, that's lamais also an iser of suicide. So that's the Gemara's kasha over here. The guy's tampering with the halozen in such a way, he keeps on kvetching the gland to squeeze out the trelis. Isn't that in tilis and shaman? So he's causing the animal to die. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara gives an answer. It's not chayiv because it's misasik. So that's the question. What does the word misasik mean? The word misasik appears in different places in Shas. So that's Tosfos has a whole dissertation over here. What does the word misasik mean on this? In this context, so Tosfos says the Gemara rejects the answer of Misasik. The Gemara says, how can you give an answer of Misasik? It's not correct because Moedei Reb Shimon Mipsik Reishis. So the Gemara substitutes a different answer. So if you're asking that the answer of Misasik is wrong because Moedei Reb Shimon Mipsik Reishis, So obviously we know what misasik means. Psik reshe is an exception to the rule of davar she'eino miskaven. There is a klal, davar she'eino miskaven is a machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. Davar she'eino miskaven means I'm doing a pu'ula hamuteres. Let's say the Gemara has in the sugya of Chanukin, Bamei Madlik in the second parak. So the Gemara says there is a machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon regarding davar she'eino miskaven. If you have furniture in the backyard and the backyard does not have concrete floor, backyard has a dirt floor, grass, let's say, and I'm going to move the furniture from one place to the other, I'm not going to pick it up like this and put it down over there. I'm going to schlep the furniture on the ground, and it may or may not cause a charitz. So if you make a charitz, basode, where normally you plant, chay mishum chorish. If you make a charitz, babayis, where normally you build, chay mishum bona. So let's say it's basode, it's in the backyard, I have grass, I have flowers growing over there. So I'm going to move the piece of furniture from one place to the other. So if it's very hard earth, and it's very light chair, and it's the likelihood is it's not going to make a charitz in the ground, so there's no problem. The rope is that a malacha will not occur. What if it's not such a light piece of furniture and it's not such a hard earth? It just rained and it's pretty soft. And there is a chance, a 50-50 chance, that it may make a charitz. So you should have said speka deraisa l'chumra. So nonetheless, we don't pass like that. There's a machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon, and we pass like Reb Shimon. Davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. What does it mean, davar she'eino miskaven mutter? If I'm doing a pu'ula hamuteres, which may or may not result in a pu'ula ha'asura. Namely, I'm doing a pu'ula hamuteres, to move furniture is not an issa. He said, unless you're going to move all the furniture. The wife decides she wants to change the dining room to the living room, to the dining room, everything's going to change. And all day long, every shop is going to be moving all the furniture around. So that's a tilchi you say, that you're not allowed to do. But just to move a chair from this place to that place, because the sun is shining here, I want to sit in the shade. Or shady over here, I want to sit in the sun. So that's not an issa to move a chair from one location to the other. So to move furniture, light furniture, no major tirche, he's not moving a piano, he's not moving a heavy sofa. Moving a chair, one person can do it with one hand. That's not an issa to move furniture. But it may or may not cause a charitz, which will be a malacha. Because a charitz is a chorish, basod chay mishum chorish, babayis chay mishum bonen. Babayis, if you dig a hole in a house, that hole could theoretically be used to put some beams over there to build some more. So it's an ancient lagufa. If you plan to use it for putting in some more buildings, put some more pipes in, then it's a malacha tzricha lagufa. You're planning to use it. If I make a charitz babayis in such a way that theoretically you could use it to install a pipe there or to put a bar there to hold up the building or something, but you personally don't plan to do that, that's called that's another mishnah. That's malacha shein tzricha lagufa. That's a malacha shein tzricha lagufa. Let's say a guy cooks food. So malacha tzricha lagufa is he cooks food and he plans that someone's going to eat it. What if a guy's just practicing cooking? He goes to cooking school, no one's going to eat it. Chef school, no one's going to eat it. That's a malacha shein tzricha lagufa. A guy is pulling off fruits from the tree. So if he pulls off fruits from the tree, that people should eat it. That's a malacha tzricha lagufa. He's on hakshara, just practicing because he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to work on a kibbutz, and he wants to pick off over there.
It may be more embarrassing, just one.
Okay. Look what I put up with this guy for 25 years. Okay.
No, in the backyard, with the Muslim, but how much is it? You have a backyard in the shop, yeah. So you want to move exactly the one chair from one place to the other place. So if in theory you slept it across the look, you slept it, it's a bone in theory?
A backyard usually is plant grass and plant flowers, so that's basada, it'll be an issue of choresh.
Oh, okay.
And babayis, when normally you build things, that's chai mishum bon. So the Gemara has
also, a machlokes. Also, everything is sada, not mamasada, but anything outside is considered sada?
Wherever normally one might be interested in planting, that's called basada. Wherever normally one would be interested in building, that's called babayis, or chai mishum bon. So the Gemara quotes this machlokes, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon. Do you say goyer adam mito kisei v'safso? It's permissible to move a bed, a chair, a sofa. If he's interested in making charitz, he doesn't have a shovel to dig, so he moves a heavy piece of furniture. So that's a malacha kalacha. Yeah, the worst it's going to be is going to be the rabbanon. The Gemara says if you do charisha with a shovel, then it's kiddark. If you do charisha by moving a heavy piece of furniture, then it's kalachayad. Okay, so the worst it's going to be is going to be an isa derabanan sahako. But he's not interested in making the charitz. He's really only interested in moving furniture, which is a pula hamoteris. And he knows in advance that it may or may not result in a charitz. So that's the machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. But the davar she'eino miskaven is mutar arasa. So the Gemara says, we pass like Reb Shimon. Davar she'eino miskaven is mutar. So the Gemara says, let's say it's a very heavy piece of furniture, and it just rained, and we know the earth is very soft, and whatever you're going to move on the ground for sure is going to leave. We just moved something on Erev Shabbos, before Lichbenshin in the Meid HaHaritz, and we're going to move something now, after Kiddush, we know it's going to make a Haritz, it's a Vada, it's going to make a Haritz. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to. That's a psikration. So if the Gemara said over here, the reason why squeezing out, kvetching the chalos and squeezing out the trelis is mutter, is because it's nisasek, and the Gemara says that's not correct because moed Rav Shimon b'psikration. So moed Rav Shimon b'psikration is a way to reject what does the term nisasek mean? Obviously, the word nisasek meant dovashen miskavet. It's another way of saying dovashen miskavet. Truth of the matter, nisasek, the original expression nisasek, as it appears in the Mishnah's increases, Yud Tesam and Aleph, doesn't mean dov shein miskav, means a totally different thing. In the original source of Misasik, it says like this, in Vayikra, chapter Hay, that's what it says in the Torah Or, on the side of Croesus, complement of the Torah Or. So it says in the Chumash, Nefesh kisechto, if a person does an Avera, Hodelov chatos ha-shechotabo, when he realizes that he did an Avera, he has to bring a korban chatos. It doesn't mean if a guy cheated in business and he realized that he cheated, a guy spoke Lashon Hara, he doesn't have to bring a Korban Chatos. So the Gemara has a Kabbalah. You only bring a Korban Chatos if the nature of the Aver was such that if he would have done the Aver B'mezer, it would have been Chayev Koreis. So if he does the Aver B'shegeg, Dabash has done a Koreis, Shigigosa Chatos. Then he's Chayev Chatos. But if it's an Aver where there's no Koreis B'mezer, then there's no Chatos B'shegeg. Fine. So the Pasuk uses an expression, when he comes to the realization that he did an avera, for which he would have been chayav koreis if he would have done it b'mezid, but he did it b'shogeg. So then it says in the Chumash that he has to bring a korban chatos. So the Tana, Rabbi Yeshua, the Tana in the Mishnah increases that your testament aleph is that parsha in Chumash is not speaking about Shabbos. Speaking about all the chavi creases, the guy eats chayil of adam, eats chametz b'pesach, does malacha b'yom kippur, does malacha b'shabbos, all of the averis that have a chorus. There are 36 averis that have chorus. That's how creases starts off. Masechus creases start. Shlosha mishesh creases hamur is batar. That's the opening mishnah. There are 36 creases. So the pasuk isn't specifically speaking about Shabbos. Nonetheless, we had the Gemara and Dafayin Amar Aleph, but the Gemara was commenting on the psukim in that. In that parsha in Vayikra, Osa mei achas mei heina, five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, achas mei achas heina mei heina. That's the pasuk that teaches me that there's a principle of toldus, of this and toldus, and Shemi Shimon is chai. The guy's interested in writing the name Shimon, and he only wrote Shin Mem. And then in the middle, he realized, what am I doing today? Shabbos. So he's already chayv chatos, even though he intended to write a whole word Shimon, he only wrote Shin Mem. So Shemi Shimon is also chai. So the Gemara is learning out details in Hilcha Shabbos, and sometimes you chayv many chatos, and sometimes you only chayv one chatos. If it's Shigigah Shabbos, or Shigigah Malachas, if he thought his watch stopped, and he thought it's still Erev Shabbos, and he does many Malachas, that's Shigigah Shabbos, so he's only chayv one chatos. But if he knows today is Shabbos, he just forgot that Ksiva is Aser, and Havara is Aser, and Kibbutz is Aser, and he does 25 Malachas, then it's chayv 25 chatos. So the Gemara learns all this from that Parsha, in Vayikra said, those psukim are also not talking about Shabbos. It's talking about chatos in general. Nonetheless, the Gemara insists, the Gemara takes it a little bit out of context. The Gemara says that the drushes are not phrased, v'asa me'achas me'heino, are speaking specifically about Hilchas Shabbos. So this is the question. It says in the Mishnah increases of Yud Tesam and Aleph that we derive from the Pasuk, hodelot chatos ha-shechotabo, pratma misasek. Misasek means, let's say the fellow walks into the house. There's nothing wrong with walking into the house. A guy walks into the house, all of a sudden the lights go on. He caused the lights to go on. They have a system whereby when you walk into the house, there's mamish misasik. He didn't realize that opening the door is going to cause the lights to go on. He was never here in this house before. They told him, you sleep here for Shabbos. He goes into the room, the lights go on, or something like that.
Yeah,
like
walking sometimes, walking on the street, they have these electrical things now where you don't know, you're visiting town, and walk by and it goes on, they have these...
Okay. Or let's say a guy checks the pockets for Shabbos and he thinks that there's nothing in the pocket. Then when he gets to shul, he realizes he puts his hands in deeper and he finds a $100 bill. He finds a pen or something there. He checked his pocket, didn't realize. So is he chayv chatos because he carried something? Is he chayv chatos because he caused the lights to go on? So Mishnah says no. That's called misasik. He didn't realize bichlal that he was doing a malacha. If he knows that he's doing a malacha, he knows he's riding, he knows he's carrying. He didn't know carrying is forbidden, he didn't know today is Shabbos. That's called shegig. Either shiga Shabbos, his watch stopped, he thought that it's not Shabbos yet, or he never heard of Hoytzor, or he thought that there's an Erev, whatever, and it turns out that there's no Erev. But let's say over here, he didn't realize bechlal that there was anything in his pocket. So that's called Nisasek, and in such a case, he's not Chayav Chatas. Here there's a famous machlokes. This, the mocker is this pasuk.
What's the truth?
We'll get to it. What kapara does he get? Does he need any kapara? Maybe he doesn't need any kapara. So there is a machlekes harishonim regarding that pasuk, ashachata bo, prat lemesasik, that's the last line in the Mishnah. And daf yud tesem and aleph increases. Is that the last line on the daf? The Gemara has five lines of Gemara following the Mishnah. But the last line in the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yeshua says, if the person bichlal didn't realize that that he was doing a malacha, then he's not chayv chatas. So here there is a machlekes harishonim. Is this din only applicable to Shabbos, or does it apply to kol ha'tarah kula? So on the one hand, that pasuk hashachat bo in Vayikra chapter dalet. I made a mistake. It's not chapter 8, chapter dalet. That pasuk, the context of the pasuk is not speaking about Shabbos b'miyuchad. Is talking about the Chiyuv Chatas. On the other hand, on the Afayin Amin Aleph, the Gemara was quoting Vosam Yachas Meheno from the same Psukim, and the Gemara said those go on Shabbos, it doesn't go on the other 35 creases, the other 35 Averis that with you, Chayv Kares. So it's hard to tell from the Mishnah really whether the Din of Mesasik applies only to Hilchas Shabbos or it applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. Taisvis, all over in Shas, assumes that since the pasuk speaks in general, shachatava prata mesasek, the din of mesasek applies in kol ha'tarah kula. That you never chayv chatas on a case of mesasek. Taisus in Sanhedrin has a guy is a shechet in a slaughterhouse, and they bring one behema yishatz, another behema yishatz, another behema yishatz. He didn't realize that this behema was a bechor behema tahora, born to a Jewish farmer in upstate New York. He didn't know. So that he violated shchut echutz. You're supposed to bring the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Sheikhei, Hatzadik, he didn't realize. Sheikhei violated the Nisa Koris B'Sheikik. So when the Beis HaMikdash is built, does he have to bring Achatas for having violated Shchut Echut? So Taisa says, no, that was Misasik. He didn't realize that this was a carbon. So that's the problem. So on the one hand, Taisus understands from this Mishnah Shachot Abba Pratla Misasek, the Misasek is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula that you never chayv chatas. And Taisus gives a moshel from Shchut Echutz. The Shchut Echutz ben Misasek is not chayv chatas. On the other hand, the Gemara quotes Shmuel on the top, the second line from the top of Yud Tes Amid Beis. This is Yud Tes Amid Aleph. Is the Mishnah increases? Then the Gemara Yud Tes Amid Beis. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel. A mesasik b'chalom rais chayv shikein nene. A mesasik b'shabes potter meleches machshebes osra Torah. A mesasik it sounds like chalom v'arais chayv shikein nene is a special exception to the rule on chalom v'arais and kol ha'Torah kula mesasik is potter. No, sounds the first statement sounds like mesasik and kol ha'Torah kula is potter because hashachat bo prat mesasik. But then the second statement of Shmuel. That Misasik b'Shabbos potem aleches machshavas asra Torah. That's not Shabbos, only a din in Hilchas Shabbos, doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. So from that line in the Gemara, two lines of Shmuel contradict each other. On the one hand, he says Misasik b'Shabbos potem. He doesn't say Rabbi Shua's pasuk. Rabbi Shua is a Tana, Shmuel is an Amira. Shmuel dug up a new pasuk. Aleches machshavas pratem Misasik. If he didn't know he was carrying anything in his pocket, he walks into the door, he didn't know the light's going to go on. So he's not chayv chatas because that's misasik. So it sounds from Shmuel, it's only a din in Shabbos, melech mach Shabbos asmeter. But from the Mishnah, it sounds like it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. Then the other half of Shmuel's memory sounds like for like the Mishnah. Two different psukim. Shmuel has a different pasuk, melech mach Shabbos, and Mishnah has a different pasuk, ashachat abo. Prat the misasik, what do you need two psukim? And then Shmuel's two members contradict each other. One member of Shmuel, misasik, b'Shabbos potem, melech mach Shabbos asmeter. So the inference is that in Kol HaTorah Kula, other than Hilchas Shabbos, Misasik will be Chayv Chatos. He doesn't say that. He says, Misasik b'chalovim u'ba'arayis. Only in Macholos Asuris and in Bias Asuris, Misasik is Chayv because Shekei Nehem. So what's going on? Why does he need two psukim? And the Mishnah has one pasuk, Shmuel has a different pasuk, and the two members of Shmuel contradict each other. So Taisus all over in Shas says that there are three dinim, the two dinim are misasik. One dinim misasik is learned that from Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk in the Mishnah, Ashachata bo pratla misasik, and that din applies in Kol HaTerakula, that you never chayv chatas. And that's what Taisus says, a mashal, the sheikhet in New Jersey, or wherever, in Omaha, and he's shechting a behemoth, it didn't occur to him. How's he supposed to know that this is a chor behemoth tor, and he's in violation of an Isak Koris of Shchut Echut, the shechting chutz lebeis hamikdosh? So Taisus says, you're not chayv chatos for having violated Shchut Echut b'shoigeh, because misasik. Ashachot abo pratla misasik. But then they say in Hilchas Shabbos, there's another din. And that Shmuel also knows that din. So Shmuel says, let's say a person goes to a restaurant that has a hashgach and he thinks that everything is kosher, and after he finishes eating, then the waiter runs in and he tells him he made a mistake. The flesh that we gave you were chalev, and the soda that we gave you was dam, and you just violated chalev and dam. So the shaila says, yichayev chatasana. He didn't know that it's chalev and dam. It's mamish misasik. He would have known, he wouldn't have eaten it. He wasn't aware at all. He's a religious person. He chose to eat here because it has a hechsher. So that's what Shmuel says, Misasik b'chalom ha'ayis chayv shekein nehene. That's an exception to the rule. Chalom ha'ayis, because shekein nehene, so you are chayv chatas. But then Shmuel has another pasuk, tells you another din of Misasik, a different din of Misasik in Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say the guy had it dark outside on Leil Shabbos, and he goes to the backyard, and he wants to pluck off an apple. He enjoys eating apples. He wants to go pluck. He didn't know that you're not allowed to pluck off apples on Shabbos. He didn't know today Shabbos or whatever. So he goes to the backyard, planning to pluck off an apple. But it's dark outside, so he didn't see. So it turns out he plucks off a peach. He plucks off an orange, something. He brings it in the house. He's not happy. That's not what he wanted. But that's what he planned to do. He planned to do ktsira, and he did ktsira. It's just that niskaven lachtach mechuber zeh bechatach mechuber acher. It turned out that it was a different, instead of plucking off an apple, which he enjoys, he plucked off a peach or an orange, which he's allergic to or something. So that's a new din on Misasek. Even though he planned to do the malacha and he did exactly what he planned to do, but since he planned to pluck off an apple and it turned out by mistake he took a peach, so that's a new din on Misasek. So that you need this new pasuk, Malachas Machsheves, Pratla Misasek. Now that din of Misasek doesn't apply in Kol HaTerakula. Let's say the guy thinks that he's shechting a b'chor b'ayim ha-Torah, chutzl mikdash, and it turns out that he's shechting a shlomen, or shechting a chatos. But he knew that it was a korban, it turned out that it was a korban. The fact that he thought it was this korban, that korban, that doesn't make a difference. That's only a din of, that special din of misasik only applies in Hilchos Shabbos. This is Shitas HaTaisus. Taisus presents this in all of Masichtas. Whenever the topic on misasik comes up, Taisus reviews this whole Chat Gadya. We go through the whole story. Here the Taisus has a big part of this, Ayin Beis on the Beis, the top Taisus, where they talk about Misasik and Krisus, Daf Yutes on the Beis. So that's what they say in effect in that Taisus. They have it in Ksubas, they have it in Krisus, they have it on all the Masichtas. Whenever the topic on Misasik comes up, the Taisus goes through this whole story, the two dinim on Misasik. It is so ingrained in us, Shitas HaTaisus, when you learn Gemara. It's such a popular Taisus, it's surprising to believe that anyone disagrees with the Taisus. So that's why Rabbi Lezer Shach has in his Sefer, one of my Talmidim brought to my attention, and he tells you his name, Shmuel Deutsch, he brought to my attention that the Rambam doesn't agree with Taisus. He says, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Yad HaChazaka. And he says, he's right. He was shocked out of his wits. He's right, that the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam holds that Shmuel, who said there, the Sasik B'Shabbos Potem Alechas Machshavos HaSatar, is not adding on a second din over and above what Rabbi Yeshua said in the Mishnah. No, there aren't two drushes. It's all the same drush. It's really Alechas Machshavos HaSatar Pratma Misasik. There's only one din of Misasik, and Misasik is only in Shabbos. There's no din of Misasik in Kol HaTerakula. So why did Shmuel say the exception to the rule is Chalav and Barayis? He should have said everything other than Shabbos. He said that's what the Rambam obviously learns. That's what Shmuel meant. That's what Shmuel meant. You look in the Rambam when he quotes this in Hilchos Shkogas, the din about Misasik. He quotes verbatim. He quotes Misasik b'chalav ma'ayis chayv shekeinen. He doesn't say Misasik in Kol HaTerakula. But when he gives you all the details in Hilchos Shkogas and the Pirush HaMishnayos and Krisus, he writes explicitly Misasik is only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. There's never a din in Misasik in Kol HaTerakula. So here.
What about the Rambam?
Yeah, so he writes, there's no p'tura misasek echalav ma'arayis. There's no p'tura.
How do you read the Mishnah?
I don't think so. The Rambam says that echalav ma'arayis, there's no p'tura misasek. It's chayv katlus. Yeah. There is a difficult Rambam. The Rambam says that misasek is chayv by arayis, whether it's chayv ikrisis, achayv elavin, or shnios. So the right it is. What do you mean? The whole topic of Misasig is, are you chai b'chatos, are you not chai b'chatos? So that's by chai b'krisis. Are you chai b'chatos or not? So the Rambam says, yes, you're chai b'chatos. Misasig ba'aray is chai b'shekenen. What do you mean by chai b'lavin or by shnios? There's no chatos by chai b'lavin or chai b'shnios. So that's the right it's kash on the Rambam. So that's a peladik Rambam. That line in the Rambam, we don't know what it means. So the Kesh Mishnah has an answer that's questionable. We may not get involved in the answer of the Kesem Mishnah. So the Rambam's opinion is that the Ptura of Misasik, the Rambam is explicit. The Pirush HaMishnah increases in the Mishnah Torah. The Din of Misasik only applies to Shabbos. Doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. But Taisus all over Shabbos. And the Meiri also, Meiri always writes like the Rambam. And Meiri also writes in a few places like the Rambam. Din of Misasik is only in Hilcha Shabbos. Doesn't apply anywhere else. But Taisus all over, this Taisus also. Taisus proves that it's not correct. This proves the Rambam. This Taisus Misasik. How do they disprove? Because they say there is a Mishnah in Kilayim that says Mechrik Sus. You see on the fourth wide line in the Taisus. Kidiyomar, as it says in the Mishnah, Mechrik Sus Mechin Kedarkon, Vachleis Kavim Chama Mechin Chama, etc. So we gave the introduction last week. There are two prohibitions regarding Kilayim. There's one Iser Levishas Kilayim. Lasilbash kilayim, lasilbash shatnes beggar semra pishtim yachter. Then you have another pasuk, a beggar kilayim shatnes lo yale olecha. There's an isa levishin, there's an isa ha'aloh. So ha'aloh is, let's say, if you have a sheet, you're not wearing the sheet. If you go to sleep and you cover over with a blanket, and the blanket is made from shatnes, that's called ha'aloh. In tzitzis, there's a machlekes harishonim. What if you have a blanket that covers you? In the daytime, at nighttime, a beged laila is not chayv in tzitzis. Let's say a person sleeps in the daytime. Is the blanket that covers him chayv in tzitzis or not? Do you say there's a chayv tzitzis only in malbushim, or there's a chayv tzitzis in ha'aloh as well? So the Magen Avraham quotes an obscure rishon, not Rashi and Tosfos of the Rambam. He quotes some far-fetched rishon and says, yes, that you chayv in tzitzis even in a blanket. And most assume, no, that this din, that you have two dinim. The Gemara says in Yivam, it says the din of Levishan, the din of Ha'aloh, even though it's not Levishan, that's miyuchad only for shatnez. That doesn't apply to tzitzis. Tzitzis is only Levishan. So chsidim v'anshimai said, tzadikim, they would be careful that if the blanket would be made from tzemer or pishtim, there is a machlekes where the tzitzis, the chi of tzitzis derais only applies if the beg, it's machlekes hatanoim, and the machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, two opinions in the Mechaber Ramo. Is the chiyuv tzitzis deraisa only if the beged is a beged tzemer or a beged pishtim? What if it's cotton? What if it's some other kind of material? Maybe it's not chayv in tzitzis. Maybe the chiyuv tzitzis is only by the rabban. So the word tzadikim who are machmir, that if you have a four-cornered blanket that you cover yourself up with in the daytime, they would if the blanket would be made from tzemer or pishtim, that would be l'chol ha'deis the chiyuv tzitzis deraisa. So they would make one of the corners roundish, in order to make sure that they're not chayv in tzitzis. So that's
a towel
that you drive off with, a towel that people walk around in a dormitory, they dress themselves in a towel. That's halal.
Right?
Yeah. So I mean, whether a four-corner towel that you dry off with is chayv in tzitzis, for sure not. But if the guy walks around dressed like that, so I don't think that's levisha, that's probably halal. So that would be this machloikis.
And a blanket is halal for sure.
A blanket is halal, yeah.
There's no good only going. There was once going around, and then somebody knew who he was, and it was cold, so they put a blanket on and kept falling off. But finally, he's Chosh Sarambam, who wore that he saw in the. It was Chosh Sarambam on Shatnez, that is the. If you have wool with the thread, it might be a Shatnez.
Yes, of a Kilayim, for sure, the Gemara says. The Pesukim say there is a din of Kilayim not only on Levisha, even on Ha'aloh. There is a din of Kilayim.
We're passing that one?
Yeah, Kilayim for sure. Kilayim for sure, that's Mishnah. Pesukim
the
Chumash.
No, in the Chumash for the string or something.
Then it may be Kilayim. Right. Whether that case is Kilayim, I don't know. I don't know what the case is. But there is a din of kelayim in ha'alah, even though it's not levish. So here, Tosis is referring to a mishnah in kelayim, that the people are moving the clothing, the merchants are selling clothing. So they have to move the clothes, the dresses, or the suits, whatever, from one location to the other. Instead of moving it on a rack in the street that has wheels on the bottom, like they do today, so he schleps 20 dresses over his back. So when he's, and the dresses have shatnas. The shatnas are mutabana, you're allowed to sell it to Nachrin. You're not allowed to sell it to a Jew, it's lifnei v'lo sitnei, you sell it to a non-Jew. So it's mutabana, you're permitted to make profit on it. Rashi in one place writes, there's a Gemara, if you have a garment with a shatnas and you don't know where the shatnas, I know that the shatnas, I can't figure out where it is. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. So Rashi quotes a pirish and he rejects it. He says there were those who thought the shatnas is also bahano. So Rashi says it's against the Mishnah. Shatnas is muta bahano, just also b'levisha. So why is hareza loyim kirena lenochri? What's wrong selling it to the guy? He says, because it doesn't say that it has shatnas, so the goy may resell it to a Jew who won't realize that it has shatnas. So it's an indirect lifnei v'lisit and it's really a lifnei v'lifnei. I'm selling it to a non-Jew who may later on resell it to a Jew who won't realize that it has shatnas, so it'll be my fault that a Jew is wearing shatnas. But it's not that the shatnas is also b'ano. So the Mishnah says, someone has dresses that are shatnas, he's going to sell it to Nochrim, muta b'ano. And there's no issue of lifneiva. It says on it, this is linen and wool together. So there's no lifneiva. It's not shach. The guy's going to be selling to a Jew. A religious Jew won't buy it. He knows that it has shatness in it. So the issue that the Mishnah discusses is, I'm not wearing the dresses. Let's say the lady dress. I'm not wearing the dresses. I carry 20 dresses on my back. Shailiz, it's a little chilly outside. I don't know if it's chilly or not. So, is there a violation of ha'aloh? So the Gemara says in Yevamos, in the first paragraph of Dafei, that this prohibition of ha'aloh, megiklan shatnas lo yale olech, is only forbidden if it's ha'aloh sheyesh bo hanoh. If it's ha'aloh sheim hanoh, then there's no issa. If you're wearing clothing that shatnas, that's a machlokes rishonim. Maybe there's an issa of levisha shatnas, even if there's no ha'aloh. Even if there's no hanor, let's say I try on a suit, I know in advance the suit has shatnas in the collar. If I buy the suit, I'm going to have the shatnas man remove the shatnas. Am I allowed to try on the suit? That's not called hanor. I'm just trying it on for size to see if it fits. Hanor is if you wear it for an hour. You just wear it to try it to see if you want to buy it or not. That's not called hanor. So that's a machlek is the Ram, the Machabe quote. That's a machlek is the Ramam and all the other Rishonim. The Ramam's opinion is that Levisha shatnas is osur even if there's no hanor. If you know that it's shatnas, you're not allowed to wear it, even though you're not getting hanor. And Rav Rishonim hold lahakel that is permissible. Or the Gemara has cases.
If you're wearing it.
But if you're just doing ha'aloh, just having it leaning on your back, so then ha'aloh is only forbidden if it's ha'aloh sheyesh bo hanor. Gemara has a discussion. Let's say when they used to pass by the Beis HaMeches, they would travel on the highways. So that when they reached a certain location, so they had to pay tax. So sometimes the tax collectors were sponsored by the government and it was legal. And sometimes it was illegal. They were just a bunch of pirates. So if it's legal, then you're supposed to pay the tax. If it's not legal, then you're not mukhayif to pay the tax. So this guy doesn't want to pay the tax, either kiddin or shalei kiddin. If it's from the government, so he's stealing. He's supposed to pay the tax. And if it's from the pirates, and he's not mukhayif to pay the tax, he can do whatever he wants in order to avoid. So the shaila is, when they made you pay tax, so they would only charge you tax for your property. Let's say, so I'm driving a van and I have 10 people in the van. I say, this is my wife and these are my 8 children. So no tax. But if I say, these are all my slaves, then I pay because I have all these slaves. The clothing that you're wearing, they don't charge you tax on. But if you have a whole stack full of clothing in the back, then they are going to charge you tax. So the guy puts on 20 coats. Everyone in the van puts on 20 coats, and I say, when we pass by the tax worker, I say, you're all my children. Make sure, Reuven, Shimon, you're all my children, they got no slave. Then after he goes by, so then they take off all the coats, and we get back to normal, we say, you're all my slaves, you're not my children. So the Gemara has a discussion. He only did it, kedei l'habriach ha-sameches. If it's a government-sponsored tax collector, it's shalekidin, you're not allowed to do it. If it's a pirate who's collecting taxes, then the Gemara says, you're allowed to lie in order to save money. So the Gemara has a bit of a discussion, and the Rambam and the other Rishonim have a machlokes. What if the guy's putting on the 10 jackets in order, like when you go on the airplane, they don't weigh in the clothing that you wear. They only weigh what you have in your.
Is that halal or not?
So that's not called getting hanor from the closing. I'm saving a fortune of money. I'm not paying taxes. No, but that's not called ha'alor sheyesh b'hanor. Ha'alor sheyesh b'hanor means, does it protect me from the heat, from the cold?
Hanor is only something that your body will... In other words,
my body gets physical pleasure from the fact that I'm wearing the clothing. Not that I'm saving money because I don't pay tax on the
clothing. How much bigger?
Okay. Depends how much money they take for the taxes. So that's a machlek, is the Rambam and the other Rishonim. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to put on, if you know that it's shatnas, you're not allowed to wear it. Kedei lavriach min ha-mechas, because it's a violation of levisha shatnas. Levisha shatnas is forbidden even if it's ebo hanor. And the other Rishonim hold that it's mutter. So that's the machlekes la'aloch alamaisa b'zman hazeh. I let it try on a suit if you know in advance that it has shatnas. Aloch alamaisa, most amekel. The shaila is the svardim usually achoshish chacham avadya has a tshuva. The svardim usually are concerned about the Rambam's opinions because the Rambam was a svardi. So chacham avadya makes a distinction. He says if it's a sofik, if it has shatnas, if it's sofik. Maybe it's mutter mitam svek sveke. Maybe the din is like the Rama. Maybe the din, because the Moran Hamachaber quotes that it's a sveke the din. But if you know for a fact that it does have shatnas, then he says you have to be choshish for the Rama's opinion and not try it on. And others say no, we don't follow the Rama. The Ashkenazim don't follow the Rama. You can try on the suit even if you know in advance that it has shatnas in it.
If there is a different concern, so how come the Rama won't cast it one time?
In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, why they only counted once? Yeah, that's a very good question. You should have counted as two separate lavim. One is Levish and one is Halor. That's a big problem. We've got a lot of problems in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's a very good question. I don't know. The Taisus is quoting a Mishnah. So the fourth wide line in the Taisus, Dibam Mas Masas, is what a Mishnah. Mochik Sus, Mochik Gedak, Mochik Kamacham, Nachama. The guy's transporting 20 shatnas dresses on his back in the street. They carry it from here two blocks further to the store where they're going to sell it to the Nochrim. They're going to get the Nochrim customers to buy it. So the Gemara says you're permitted to carry it on your back. There's no Levisha, there's only Ha'alor. You're doing a Dover HaMutter. What are you doing? You're transporting dresses from one place. If you ask anyone, what's he doing? He says transporting dresses from one place to the other. But over here, this may or may not, it may or may not turn out to involve another act of Ha'alor. Sheyesh b'hanor of shatnas. If it turns out to be very chilly outside, so he's going to be getting hanor from the fact that he has all these dresses on his back that's going to keep him warm. So it's going to turn out that it's very hot outside, and this is going to protect him from the sun beating down on his body. The clothing may cool him off, may keep the sun from giving him a sunstroke if he holds it on his head. So the Mishnah says, Merchik sus, merchin kedak, and you can carry the shatnas on your back, on top of your head. If you're not miskaben for it, it's a dover sheni miskaben. You know in advance that may or may not happen, so dover sheni miskaben is mutter. So that Mishnah is taking a stand, like Reb Shimon, that dover sheni miskaben is mutter against Reb Yudah. So Tosfos says, you see from that Mishnah, that dover sheni miskaben is not only a machlekes Reb Yudah, Reb Shimon, and Hilchos Shabbos. Machlekes in Kol HaTorah Kula, whether dover sheni miskaben is also a mutter. What is the basis of the heter of Dabash Enim Skaban? Like this, you would have said Dabash Enim Skaban is mutter because Malachas Machshev is also ter. If you don't have Kavanah for the Malacha, so it's a lack of Malachas Machshev. That's, in fact, we mentioned the other day, that's what Tosfos writes on Mem Amud Beis. Even according to Reb Yudah, who holds a Dabash Enim Skaban is also in Kol HaTorah Kula, but in Shabbos, the maximum it's also is only Midirabbanan. Dabash Enim Skaban can't constitute an Issa Derais on Shabbos, because of a lack of Malachas Machshevus. That's the Tosfos Mem Aleph on the base. The gigantic Tosfos Dibra Maskon Mecham. So the middle of the big fat part of the Tosfos, Rabbi Kivega has his Tzion, he has his asterisk, whatever the star is called over there. So Tosfos writes there, V'lo asa the Rabbi Yudah, Dov Shein Miskaven, Ela Midirabbanan. Rabbi Yudah Shita, the Dov Shein Miskaven, and Zasar on Shabbos, can only be Midirabbanan. And Kol HaTorah Kula, Rabbi Yudah holds, Rabbi Yudah disagrees with Rabbi Shimon on the level of their eyes. So he holds that Dabash and Miskaven is awesome in Atara. The famous Gemara is like that. But in Hilchos Shabbos, Tosfos is Mechadesh. That's their Girsa in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Going over to Lamed Hem and Aleph, gigantic Tosfos. So that's the Girsa that Tosfos had there. Rabbi Yudah's opinion that in Hilchos Shabbos, Dabash and Miskaven is also there, it's only awesome in the Rabbanan because of a lack of Malachas Moshevus. But the Tosfos Bayas says that Reb Shimon Shita, the Dov Shein Miskaven Mutter, that's not based on Malachas Machshevus. If it's based on Malachas Machshevus, How does it apply to Shatnez? How can it possibly apply to Shatnez? Kamo kol yisurim b'shabbat lo shakbo melechas machshevus, and still shari davishenim is kabim kidi yomar, as the Mishnah says in Kilai, mochik siz mochin kedarkon, etc. So Tesis proves that Reb Shimon Shita, Gemara is all over the place like that. Tesis is right. Reb Shimon Shita, the davishenim is kabim is mutter, is in kol ha-tera kula, it's not only in Hilchas Shabbos, and it's not based on the lack of melechas machshevus. Melechas machshevus only has a shaychus with Hilchas Shabbos. So what is it based on? So Reb Shimon Shita, Dov Shenim Iskabin Muta, what is it based on? If it's not based on Malach and Moshe, what is it based on? So Tesis seems to be presenting the case. They don't say it explicitly. They say the word Misasik, as it appears in our Gemara, means Dov Shenim Iskabin. So they hold Misasik is not Chayiv Chatos. There are two psukim and there are two dinim. That's Tesis Shita all over Shas. There are two psukim, Reb Yeshua and the Mishnah and Yud Tesam and Aleph had one pasuk, Ashachata Bo, Kratam Misasik in Vayikra chapter Dalad that goes on all Chai decrees. And Shmuel has a new pasuk, Malachas Machshevus Asvatar, Kratam Misasik. That's only a local din in Hilchas Shabbos. But the basic din of Misasik is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. So Taisa says, Misasik in Kol HaTorah Kula is not Chayiv Chatos. Why? You don't need any kapara. I did Pule, which is a Pule HaMoteris. It didn't even occur to me. It didn't even occur to me that there are conditions of an Isra over here. I'm a sheikhet in the slaughterhouse for the last 25 years. It didn't occur to me that they're giving me a b'chor b'eim a Torah, that I'm shecht and shchut echutz. I wasn't aware at all of the facts. So that's misasik. So Taisa hold misasik is not chai b'chatzis because I don't need any kapara. It's not considered an aver at all. Since I wasn't aware of all the details of the case, it's considered as if the avera happened by itself, as if the avera was nasis me'leho. It doesn't relate to me. I'm not the one who did the avera. So based on misasek, Reb Shimon extends it one step further, and he holds that even if you know it, you are advanced, you know in advance that by moving the furniture from here to here, see, misasek means I was taken by surprise, I didn't know at all, I didn't have the foggiest notion that there's any avera going on over here. Dov Shenim Skam means I know in advance. I'm doing Pula HaMuteris, which I know in advance. It may or may not result in a Pula HaAsura. So Rav Shimon stretches and extends the principle of Misasik. He says, not only does Misasik say that the Avera doesn't relate to me if I wasn't aware of the facts at all, even if I was aware of the 50-50 chance that it may turn out to be an Isir, but my intention was to do Pula A, which is Pula HaMuteris, and I knew in advance Pula B may or may not result. That's also included in Misasik. And Rav Yudah says not so. Since he knew in advance, and he doesn't care, and he's doing it anyway, so that's not included in Misasik. That's the Machlekes of Rabbi Reb Shimon. And Kol HaTorah Kula. Reb Shimon holds every Dovish and Miskaven is an extension of Misasik. That's why it's Heta Goma, because Misasik is Heta Goma. So Dovish and Miskaven is also Heta Goma. Rabbi Yudah says, no, Misasik means I had no notion, I didn't have the foggiest notion, Bechlal, that there are conditions of Isser. But if I know in advance that may or may not result in an Isser, then the Dov Shenim Iskabin is going to be yours. This whole biur is clearly not, this whole mashmos and this is clearly not in accordance with Rebbe Akiva Eger. There's a famous tshuva Rebbe Akiva Eger, he has it in his commentary on Mishnayis and Shavuos, and in the tshuvas a few places he has. There is a Mishnah in Shavuos that discusses the din of a Tomei Shenichnas LaMikdosh. Tumas Mikdosh VeKadoshav is one of the three averis that Yechayv a Chatos Olah V'Yored. Chatos Olah V'Yored, why is it called a Chatos Olah V'Yored? Why is it called a Chatos Olah V'Yored? I remember when I was in college, we had a Bible professor who didn't know why it was called a Chatos Olah V'Yored. He thought that the Olah V'Yored was brought on the 15 steps that went up and down from the Ezra's Noshim to the Azor. It has nothing to do with the 15 steps. The 15 steps don't have Kedushas Azor. You can't bring a Chatos over there. It's called Olah V'Yored. It means it depends. If you can afford it, you bring a more expensive chatas. If you can't afford it, bring less expensive chatas. And if you can't even afford that, then you bring a minchas chaytei. That's called chatas Olah V'Yored. There are five cases of Olah V'Yored. Ayoledes and Amitzora. That's one kind of Olah V'Yored. You bring it bashiris and you bring it bedalas. And here, in Parshas Vayikra, there are three specific averis. Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav is one. What's the other one? Shavuos Eidus. And then Shavuos Bitui. On these three particular areas, the guy took a shavuot not to eat potato chips, and he forgot and he eats the potato chips, that's called Shavuos Bitui. Shavuos Eidus means he swore he doesn't know any testimony, he really did know. So if one violates any one of these three, either Shavuos HaPikodin, Shavuos Eidus, or Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, He enters the Beis Hamikdash in the state of Tumah. He eats Karbanos in the state of Tumah. He has to bring a Chatas El Bior. This has three brands. It has Vashiras, Bedalos, and Bedali Dalos. If you can't afford that, then you bring even Minchas Chaitin. So the Mishnah talks about a person is in the state of Tumah, and he enters into the Beis Hamikdash, Behelem Mikdash. He didn't realize that this building was the Beis Hamikdash. He thought it was a museum. He thought it was the Heichal Shlomo. He thought it was the Gera Beis Medrash. Which Beis Hamikdash? He thought it was the Belzer Beis Medrash. He didn't realize that it's the Beis Hamikdash. He thought it was the Belzer Beis Medrash. So the Mishnah gives that. That's an example that Yechayiv Chatas Al Viyot. So Rabbi Kiveger asked Akasha on the Mishnah and in the Tshuvas, the Stachmamish Misaseh. He enters into a building thinking that it's a museum or a library or a Beis Medrash, and he didn't realize that it's a Beis Hamikdash. Let it be Misasik. Why is Yechayiv Chatas Al Viyot? There's a Machlek Yisatanaim, Rabbi Kiveger, Rabbi Shmuel. Are Yechayiv on Helem Mikdash? Maybe you're only Yechayiv on Helem Tumah. So one Tana says, no, Yechayiv on Helem Mikdash. So, Ferek Rabbi Kiveger de Kasha, let it be Misasik. He wasn't aware of the information, didn't know all the information. If he would have known, he wouldn't have done the Aver. So, Rabbi Kiveger comes up with an answer, which is in contradiction to everything that we're developing now. Rabbi Kiveger says that Misasik is not that it's mutter, not that the Mais Aver that happens to Misasik doesn't relate to him as if it happened by itself. Misasik is Akzeres HaKosuv. That despite the fact that it's an aver b'shoigeg, you're not chayiv chatos. So he says that pasuk of shochot tavo prat lemisasek, Rabbi Yeshua's pasuk in the Mishnah, only says in the context of chatos kvua. In the context of chatos olaviyori, there is no ptur, and misasek is also chayiv. It's a different kind of a chatos. Chatos kvua means whether you can afford it or not, you have to bring a kizba osira. Can't afford it, so you rob a bank and you bring a kizba osira. Chata Salaviyar, they're different. You can't afford it, you bring Lessex. Chata Salaviyar, can't afford that, you bring a Minchas Chayte. So, in the context of Chata's Kvua, Rabbi Kiveger says there's a Ptur, Potter from the Chata's. But in the context of Chata Salaviyar, there is no such Ptur of Misasik. And the other Gedolim, the Chata's Das, disagreed. The Nesibis disagreed with Rabbi Kiveger. That was the correspondence that they had that's printed in the Chuvas Rabbi Kiveger. The Nesibis held that it's not correct. He held that the Pshat and Misasik is that it's not considered an aver at all. It doesn't relate to me at all. So Rabbi Kiveger says, "I'm moide b'mitzas to you." He says, "By Shabbos, I agree with you." That if a person does a malecha Shabbos b'misasek, because whenever there's a lack of malechas masheres, then it's mutam in Torah. So Rabbi Kiveger says, if you have a case of misasek on Shabbos, maskim that it's not called an aver at all, mutam in Torah. But misasek in kol Torah kula, where there is no din of malechas masheres, it's only based on the pasuk ashachot bo. Brought the Misasik, he says that's only a ptur from a carbon, and he does need a kapara. And in Chatas Kvua, he doesn't bring it. In Chatas Al Aviyard, he would bring.
What grammar is Misasik? In other words, how much of the case, the Shoichel case, when he has that in his pocket on Shabbos, how much does he have to, what's the difference between Shoigeg and Misasik?
That's a major topic. That's the whole literature that Rabbi Kiveger started. Maybe walking into a building thinking that it's a Beis Medrash or a library, and it turns out that it's a Beis Hamikdash. Maybe that's not called a Misasik. That's a whole literature on Rabbi Kiveger's kasher. Rabbi Kiveger assumes that that's called Misasik. Let's say a person thinks the Erev is up and he's carrying, and then it turns out the Erev was down.
Should check for Shabbos? All these questions like this. Should check his pockets in advance? And should the Shoich Rabbi said, listen, there's an issue to check the car, so I want to start my job. I want to make sure these guys, I mean.
Okay, so that's a long. That's a long beer in Achrayim to try to ascertain what's Misasik and what's not. So getting back over here, again, what's the structure again of our Gemara? Gemara says, Hatzot Chalazon v'hapotso, when he traps the Chalazon, it's a Malach of Seder. When he squeezes out the Tcheles, it's a Machlekes Hatanan, whether Yesh Disha Shalabi Bigadula Karkana. So Gemara asks Takasha, but when he's squeezing out the Tcheles from the Chalazon, true, the tchelus is not ki'adam u'anefesh. It's from a gland. It's literally mifkid pocket. It's even better than dam sulam. It's literally mifkid pocket, like sitting in a pocket. But still, he's killing the animal. It's like choking an animal. He's killing the animal, not through causing it to lose its blood. Isn't he lemaise? Why shouldn't he be chayim shem tilus neshama? So the first answer was gimish epotzam. The second answer is it's misasik. So what do you mean misasik? So Tosis says, the way the Gemara slugs up the answer, you understand what the answer was in the first place. Gemara slugs up and says, how can you say Misasik? It's a psikreishin. Sikreshe is the exception to the rule on Dov Sheinim is Kaben. Usually Rav Shimon holds Dov Sheinim is Kaben is Mutter, but if it's Maida Rav Shimon, Sikreshe is not called Dov Sheinim is Kaben. So Tosfos says, obviously, when the Gemara answered that it's Misasik, Rav Amar Afilu Teima Shepotzer Chai, Misasik means that it's Dov Sheinim is Kaben. So why do they use the word Misasik? That's what you say. Why do you call it Misasik if you really mean Dov Sheinim is Kaben? The answer is that's what Dov Sheinim is Kaben is based on. Where did Reb Shimon get his whole idea from that Dov Sheinim is Kaben is Mutter? From thin air. Where's the Pasuk? Reb Yudah disagrees. Reb Yudah holds it's an Issa Deraisa. So how does Reb Shimon know Dov Sheinim is Kaben is Mutter? So the answer is he gets it from the Din of Misasik. Which Din of Misasik? Not the Din of Malachas Machshevis. No. Malachas Machshevis is only a Din in Hilchas Shabbos. Reb Shimon holds that Dov Sheinim is Kaben is Mutter and call it Terakula. Even by Mecher Ksus. Many other cases. So Tosfos says, no, this din ha-misasik over here is not the Shabbos dika din ha-misasik. This is the kol ha-terakula. There are two psukim and two dinim. That's what Tosfos holds all over in Shas. Here the Gemara is using the expression misasik in the sense of misasik and kol ha-terakula. An extension of misasik, a subcategory of misasik, according to Reb Shimon, is every dov sheinim miskaven is labeled as a misasik, and that's why it's hatagomer. Rabbi Yudi agrees Misasik is not an Aveira, but Dov Hashem is Kaben, he knows in advance that man may not result in an Issa. Shimon knows that every case of Dov Hashem is Kaben is an extension of Misasik, and that's why it's Mutter. that's what Rav answered, that this is Dov Hashem is Kaben. So then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? But it's a Psik Reshe. It can't apply the Heter of Dov Hashem is Kaben. So the Gemara answers, you're right, but Shaini Hacha, the Kama Disle Neshama, Tvei Nichala Kech, the Leitzel Tzibi. So what was the final answer? That the reason why you're not chayiv over here is not because it's dov sheinim miskaven, but for a different reason. What's the different reason? Shani hocha the kama dis bein neshama tvei nichala keichda. What's the answer? The Tosfos says if you have a psik reshe, the loy nichale, whatever you have a psik reshe, but I'm not interested one way or the other. Loyich pislei. He doesn't care. He didn't say a hair. It doesn't really make a difference. Not like Rashi says over here, a psikresha that's detrimental to him. Tosfos says that Rashi is wrong. And they disproved Rashi by quoting the Gemara Lekama on Daf Kuv Gimel. As we pointed out, Rabbi Kivega on Daf Kuv Gimel, Rabbi Kivega on our Daf in the Drush Mechidish asks it, but on Daf Kuv Gimel, Rabbi Kivega on the bottom points out that the Rashi here is contradicted by the Gemara Kuv Gimel, as Tosfos says on Ayin Hayamad Aleph. Rabbi Kivega says, it's not my Kasha. Tosfos has the Kasha against Rashi. That the Gemara contradicts Rashi. The Rashi says, "Moed Reb Shimon b'psik reisha." If he doesn't care one way or the other, the Reb Shimon holds that it's an issa deraisa psik reisha. But if it's detrimental to his purposes, then psik reisha would not be also. So Tosfos says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish later on Kuv Gimel. Any psik reisha which is layich b'slei doesn't care one way or the other. It's absolutely lamala v'lamar. Reb Shimon will already say that you're not chayv. So why not? Why should a psikresh lo nichalei be not be an isay deraisa? The Tosfos says because it's a malacha shein svicha le gufo. Reb Shimon happens to hold malacha shein svicha le gufo is not an isay deraisa. So here Tosfos gets involved in another controversy. A few controversies here.
According to Tosfos, is there a link between
no, same thing. So it says they're both only the Rabbanim. Because whether it's Loi Nichalei or Loi Ichbislei, in either case it's going to be Ein Tzricha Legufa. So Malacha Tzricha Legufa, Reb Shimon holds his Mutter. Menater. Mutter Menater, it's only awesome the Rabbanim. So here on Kuvavam and Aleph, so it says quotes all these Gemaras. On Kuvavam and Aleph, the Gemara refers to a machlekes, another machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. We just spoke about two machlekes. One machlekes, Dov Sheinim is Kaven, whether Osir and Mutter that every 10, 15 blot in the Masechta. They keep on either the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosfos. Someone's going to bring up this machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. Dov Sheinim is Kaven, whether it's Osir and Mutter. Then there's another machlekes, Melocha Shein Svicha Legufa, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbon. Reb Shimon happens to hold, it's the same Tana. Reb Shimon holds Dov Sheinim is Kaven is Mutter. Even with the Rabbanan, and he holds the Malach Hashem Tzvich Leguf is only awesome in the Rabbanan. So now there's a third Machloikis, which is questionable whether it's connected or not, where Reb Shimon is the Machma. So the Mishnah says, Aklal Kufam and Beis, Kolam Akalkalim, Pturim, the second line from the top on Kufam and Beis. Whenever a person does a Malach in the fashion of Kilkul, Kolam Akalkalim, Pturim, are there any exceptions to the rule? There are 39 of his Malachas. Are there any exceptions to the rule? Why? Because you need malachas machshavas. Whenever you do a malacha b'mekalkal, there's a lack of malachas machshavas. Are there any malachas that are not subject to malachas machshavas? How can that be? All the 39 malachas are subject to malachas machshavas. So the Gemara quotes a machlekes Rabbi Yudah Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon's opinion is chutz mechayv lo maver. There are two exceptions to the rule. By chayv lo maver yechayiv, even though you're mekalkal. What does that mean? So that means, I think Mar says, how does Reb Shimon know that that's an exception? Well, Mar says he learned it out from Bris Nila, he learned it out from Sreifas Baskai. Now, as a source in the Chumash to indicate that these two malachas are exceptions to the rule. What do you mean that it's exceptions to the rule? It means that you don't require malachas machshavas like these two malachas. There are 39 malachas which are divided into two categories, 37 and another two. 37 of the 39 malachas need malachas machshavas, and the other two malachas don't need malachas machshavas. How do you know to extend Reb Shimon? How do you know to generalize the statement? Maybe only says mekalkal is chayv. How do I know to say that there isn't any requirement at all of malachas machshavas by the two malachas? Taisa says anayin hem and aleph, because that's what it says in Krisis. The Gemara says in Krisis, hanach litinoikos. See the Taisa's ayin hem and aleph misasek. On the third line in the Taisa, they quote Krisis yutes and adays. The Gemara there in Krisis is talking about a moyel. The Gemara is quoting a Mishnah in Rav Lezer the Mila from Shabbos. The Moyel has a bris on Shabbos and he has a bris on Sunday. Has one bris on Friday and one bris on Shabbos. So he has a bris on Shabbos, bris on Sunday. So the Mila Bizmano is Decha Shabbos. The Friday bris, or the Sunday bris, is not Decha Shabbos. So what if he mixed up the babies and he was mal the wrong baby on Shabbos? So Mila, the Shabbos, constitutes a Malacha Derais. If it's a Mila Bizmano, they have a pasuk that allows it. If it's a Mila Shloi Bizmano, whether the bris should have been on Friday, the bris is not yet supposed to take place until Sunday. Doesn't matter whether it's overdue or it's premature or post-mature, it doesn't make a difference. It's a malacha deraisa to do the bris on Shabbos. So the question is, what if the moel mixed up the babies and he did the wrong mila on Shabbos? Is he chayv chatas or not? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, this should be compared to the guy, it's dark outside, he wanted an apple and he plucked off something from the tree and then he brings it in the house. It turns out that it was a pear. That was an origin. He's allergic to all the other fruits. He wanted dakke and apple. So the Gemara says that that's a dinam misasik in Hilcha Shabbos. The way Taisus says there are two dinam misasik. So Taisus says this is a din, the special pasik malachas machshavas pratam misasik. The din shachata bo pratam misasik and kol tarkula. Based on that pasik, I would never declare this as a misasik. He knows that he's plucking off something that's attached to the tree. What's the difference in halacha whether it's an apple or a pear? It's the same thing. Because there's a new pasuk, an additional pasuk, malachas machshavas on Hilchas Shabbos, that's called misasik. So the Gemara says this is also called misasik. There's a difference whether it's a mila bizman, mila shlo bizman. He does want. He's a religious moel. He does want to be mechal Shabbos, and he mixed up the babies. So the Gemara says that should be misasik. So why does it say in the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos that he's chayv chatos? The moel was mal the wrong baby on Shabbos. The mila shlo bizman is not techa Shabbos chayv chatos. Why don't you call it misasik? So the Gemara says no, but according to Reb Shimon, hanach l'tinoikis, leave away the case of the shnei tinoikis that got mixed up. Hoyle, since Reb Shimon holds mikalkal b'chabura chayev, so misasik b'chabura nami chayev. That's a statement that the Gemara increases daf your testament base. Hanach l'tinoikis, leave away the Mishnah with the shnei tinoikis. Echad lomo be'er shabbos, echad lomo b'sham. Hoyle mikalkal b'chabura chayev, misasik nami chayev. So what does it mean? When Reb Shimon holds on Kuvav Amen Aleph that Mekalkal is Chayev Bechayvul Amavir, he doesn't just say Pasuk Agderes Hakosad that Mekalkal is Chayev. The Pasuk tells you that the requirement for Malachas Machshavas only applies to 37 Malachas. It doesn't apply to these two Malachas of Chayev Amavir. So not only will he say that Mekalkal is Chayev, he'll say Mesasik is also Chayev. Any din in Hilchas Shabbos that's based on the special Pasuk of Malachas Machshavas will not apply to these two cases of Chayv al Amavir.
You should be a Misasik of the Kala Terekula because Mila Shabbos is Mutter. Where the Taisus should be Nismayit from Boa?
I don't know. Taisus holds not so. Taisus claims in the Gemara that Taisus claims there are two kinds of Misasik. The Misasik of Kala Terekula will apply to these two. The only Misasik that won't apply to these two is if it's a Shabbos Dikin Misasik. So the guy planned to do exactly, he did exactly what he planned to do. But he switched, it was the wrong baby. So Taisa says, I don't know. See, we got to work on that also. But Taisa told that this is the same as So it's chalaf la mechubizeh ben mechubizeh.
Maybe that's a pshat of misasik. In other words, if misasik is again like I'm shechting it mutter, you know, here he was doing something that was doich. It's not mutter to do, but he's doing it only because it's doich.
That's a question whether Nila Bismana Bishabis is the Chuya Hubu.
Yeah, I understand.
But either way,
it's not like when the guy's shechting right, he's shech, it's mutter shecht. You just can't shech schut chutz, correct?
Yeah.
Here, really, it's also to make Chabal on Shabbos. We're making special exceptions, so therefore, so it's already kind of not openly.
That could be, okay.
Mil Shal Bismana is also.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
No, but you're saying since Nila Bismana is not really Hutra, it's only the Chuya, so it's also told in Malacha. It's just that this had a head, that this didn't have a head. Maybe? You got to work on that. Why did Taisus assume that this is the Shabbos Dikin Misasik? It's not the Misasik from Kala Terapu. But that's the way they learn in the Gemara. So here, yeah.
You only have the Pasuk that says the Yom Shmini. And if you didn't have that Pasuk, then after we wouldn't run like this, and it would be a Malacha.
Right. The rule is, Mila Bishabbos is a Malacha. You have a special Pasuk that says if it's Mila Bismana, then it's Mutta.
So that not a Mila Bismana. That would seem to relate to Tishabbat, and then it would only apply to the Shabbos.
So we got to figure it out. We got to work on it. Is this a Shabbos? The Taisus assumes that this is a Shabbos Dikin Misasik. Okay. So now there's a major machlokes. We mentioned it many times. There's a major machlokes on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. What is the source of Rav Shimon's opinion of Malacha Shein Svicha Lagufa? Rav Shimon holds that Malacha Shein Svicha Lagufa is only an Issa Derabbanan. There's no Issa Deraisa. The guy cooks food just to practice. He doesn't plan to eat the food. He's not going to feed it to anybody else either. Reb Shimon holds that that's only an Issa Derabbanan. Reb Yudah holds that it's an Issa Deraisa. So where does Reb Shimon derive that principle from? That a Malacha Shein Svicha Lagufa, there is no Issa Deraisa. So Rashi and Taisus have a machlokes how to read the Gemara. This is a Taisus. It's a gigantic Taisus on Sadik Dalon and Manala for Reb Shimon Poiter. Then it's a few Taisus in on Daf Kuvav and Manala. Then it's our Taisus, Ayin Heya Manala. Misasiku. They put all the Taisus in together. It's an explicit Machlekes Rashi and Taisus. Rashi's opinion is that Reb Shimon Shita, Malocha Shein Svicha Lugufa, Pater Aleho, is an extension of the Din of Misakin versus Mekalka. The din is that you only chayiv on malacha if it's malachas machsheves, has to be misaken, and if it's mekalkel, you're not chayiv. So what if I cook the delicious food, but no, it's delicious, gevaldik, it's misaken. Shimon says no, but if you personally don't have intention of eating and of feeding to anybody, so that's not called misaken. You don't have to have mekalkel as potter. No, if there's a lack of misaken, you're not chayiv. But he did misaken, he cooked delicious food, yeah, but he doesn't plan that anybody's going to eat it. He cooked food, he's going to throw it out in the garbage. So Reb Shimon holds that that's a lack of misaken. So since it's ain't svicha legufa, it's a lack of misaken, so that's why you're not chay. And Taisus disagrees with Rashi. They say, what has it got to do with misaken? They're two unrelated topics. Misaken and mekalkal is a mishnah, kala mekalkal and p'turin mishnah, kuf heim and beis. That's based on the pasuk malachas machsheves asvetera. But this is not based on malachas machsheves. This is a different din. It has to be dumya de mishkan. And then Taisus proves it. How do they prove it? So they put together all the Gemaras. The Gemaras said increases on Daf Yud Tesem and Beis that according to Reb Shimon that Mekalkel is Chayiv and Chayiv Lamavir. Not only Mekalkel is Chayiv, Misasik is also Chayiv. Why is Misasik Chayiv? So Taisus, this is all Taisus Lishitosim. There are a lot of premises here. Taisus Shita is a din of Misasik and Kol HaTorah Kulo. It's not like the Rambam that Misasik is only a din in Hilcha Shabbos. It's clearly based on Malachas Malshev. Taisus, no, there are two dinim misasik. One is Ashachata Bo Pratla misasik that applies in Kol HaTorah Kulo. The other dinim misasik is a local din in Hilcha Shabbos only. So when the Gemara says here that Hanach L'Tinoik is by Chayvul Mavir, we divide the malachas. There are 37 malachas and there are two malachas. The 37 malachas we mekalkal is Pater because they're subject to the regulation, rules and regulations of malachas machshavos. The two malachas of Chayvul Mavir where Reb Shimon holds mekalkal is Chayiv. So that means that Malachas Machsheves doesn't apply. So the Shabbos din of Misasek doesn't apply either. And any other dinim that are based on Malachas Machsheves won't apply either, because in these two Malachas, you just don't need Malachas Machsheves. So now Taisus says, but there's a Gemara, an explicit Gemara in Sanhedrin. They dug up a Gemara in Sanhedrin. They keep on quoting all over. They keep on quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin. That pedalet demolishes Rashi Shita. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that even according to Reb Shimon, that Yechayiv Mekalkel Bechoyv Olamavir, it still has to be Tzricha Lagufa. According to Rashi, that's impossible. If Mekalkel is Chayiv, so what do you need Tzricha Lagufa? Ain't Tzricha Lagufa is an extension of Mesakin and Mekalkel. Not only are you not Chayiv if you did Kilkel, even if you did Tikkun, but you personally, you subjectively, you don't plan to use the Tikkun, so that's not called Tikkun. Machleg Zabir Reb Shimon, whether Mesakin and Mekalkel is determined subjectively or objectively. Shimon has, if it's ain't Tzricha Lagufa, so how can you call it Mesakin? He plans that no one's going to be Nene from the Tikkun. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do I care what he plans? He made a Tikkun. It can be used by anybody in the world. What do I care that he doesn't plan to use it? So Tosis asks, the Gemara says, Beferish, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Mekalkel is Chaya B'choy V'lamavir, but you still need that it should be Tzricha Lagufa. So how can you need Tzricha Lagufa? If according to Rashi, Alocha Tzricha Lagufa is a detail, it's a subcategory of the topic of Mesakin and Mekalkel. Whenever there's no tikkun, there's no isa deraisa. Even if there is tikkun, but you don't plan to use the tikkun, that's considered as if there were no tikkun. But if the Gemara says mekalkel is chayiv, so what do you need tzricha legufa for? So that Gemara is beferish against Rashi. A beferish Gemara against Rashi. The Tosis demolishes Rashi. So Rashi will have to say, it's a shveri Gemara. That Gemara has a different understanding. Tosis is very honest about it. Tosis says, there is one Gemara chagiga that contradicts our shita. So they quote the Gemara Chagigas, that's what Tosis says, the Gemara. We said when we looked in the Gemara, I didn't see that the Gemara said it. The Gemara says there, Achayfa Guma Venetzarach El Lafara Potter, and Tosis says the reason why Potter because ain't Tzricha Lagufa. Then the Gemara says 5 lines later, and why is it Potter? Because Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. So Tosis says, that's what the famous Gemara against what I'm saying, that Malachas Achayfa Guma Venetzarach El Lafara is ain't Tzricha Lagufa. Ain't Tzricha Lagufa is based on Malachas Machshavas. So Tosis says that Gemara in Chagige Daf Yud the Tosis Tvei Nichalei, the last 2 lines in Tvei Nichalei, the Tema, they don't know how to deal with it. The Besof Perakam of the Chagige Daf Yud Abe Beis Mashma, the Ha the Potter Rab Shimon Malacha Shem Tzvicha Leguf Ayin Mishim the Boy Malachas Machshavis the Im Kain B'Chay Bula Ma'aber the Boy Malachas Machshavis L'Chay Bula Malacha Shem Tzvicha Legufa. Question mark. So that contradicts our Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Peidala that they quoted to demolish Rashi Shita. So they say there's a contradiction between two Gemaras. The Gemara Chagiga sounds like Rashi. That's what Tosis claims. If you look in the Gemara Chagiga, it doesn't even say it. The Gemara first started off by saying Chayful Gumer and Sarchel Afar Potter Allah. They thought that it must be because of Malacha Shein Tzvicha Lagufa. Then they said no, because it's Mekalkel. And how do you know? Pray tell them Mekalkel is Potter because Malachas Machshavas. So it's Retayra. It's a lack of Malachas Machshavas. When the Gemara 5 lines later says Malachas Machshavas, that's after they said it's Mekalkel, not after they said it's Ein Tzricha Lagufa. Ein Tzricha Lagufa, they didn't give any markers. So the truth of the matter, the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud doesn't necessarily contradict Tosis, but Tosis felt that it did contradict. So Tosis presents it that there are two Gemaras. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud says, like Rashi keeps on saying all over in Shas, that the topic of Ein Tzricha Lagufa is a subcategory of the topic of Mesakin and Mekalkel. I did a malacha with there is tikkun, but I personally don't intend to use the tikkun. So is that called misakin, or is that not called? It's a lack of misakin. So that Gemara Chagiga says like Rashi, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Peidalet is beferish, not like Rashi. So the way Tosis presents it just boils down to there's a contradiction between two Gemaras, major issue. Which Gemara are you ma'adif? Which the two versions of what Reb Shimon said, whether Reb Shimon's opinion on malacha shein tzricha legufa is based on Mesakin, the topic of Mesakin and Mekalkel, or it's not based on that. So again, how did Tosis read in our Gemara? Tosis raises an issue. Our Gemara is talking about, Tosis raises an outside issue, because of the Bikiyas. The Gemara says over here, V'lechayiv nami mishum netilas neshama, he's killing the chalazan over here. You kvetch long enough, you're going to kill the balchai. So to this, the Gemara answers misasik. What do you mean misasik? You see from the next line, the way they reject me answer misasik, that the pshat the misasik was davashani miskabik. Because they reject it by asking, it's a separation. So the Gemara said, it's misasik means davashani miskabik. Why do they call davashani miskabik misasik? Because davashani miskabik mutter is an extension of the din of misasik. Masasik is a din and call out Tarakula. According to Reb Shimon, Reb Yud holds Dabashen and Miskaven is awesome. Reb Shimon holds that Dabashen and Miskaven is mutter. So Reb Shimon holds that that's an extension of the din of Masasik. So the Gemara answers, it's a Dabashen and Miskaven on the killing of the Baha'i. Then the Gemara said, what kind of Dabashen and Miskaven? But it's a psik reshe. Everybody knows if you keep on crouching long enough, you're going to kill the bug. It's not going to survive. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's a psik reshe de la nichale, which means, in effect, that it's an ein sricha legufa. Wait a minute, ein sricha legufa by Chayvel? Here we're talking about Natilas Neshama. Ein Svicha Legufa, is that relevant in the area of Chayvel? Reb Shimon, we're talking, Ein Svicha Legufa is Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon happens to be the Tana who thinks that Chayvel or Mavir are Chayiv and Mekalkal. If you Chayiv and Mekalkal, what it means is that you don't need Melechas Nashevas. Because the Gemara says, increases Daf Yeter. Since Mekalkal is Chayiv, so Mesasik is also Chayiv. Means the Shabbos Dik and Mesasik is Chayiv. Because you don't need Melechas Nashevas at all. So if you hold that Ein Svicha Legufa is based, if Rashi were right that Ein Svicha Legufa is based on Melechas Nachsheves, so how can the Gemara say Shaini Hocha the Kamadis Bein Neshama Tzvei Nichla Keecha Delei Tzal Tzibbe, that it's a Psik Resha Delei Nichla means that it's a Melechas Shein Svicha Legufa, but Melechas Shein Svicha Legufa is only part in the 37 Melechas, and the two Melechas were Mekalkal Eschaiv, so there's no reason to say that Ein Svicha Legufa will be put according to Rashi Shita. So Taisa says, I don't agree with Rashi, because Rashi is wrong. Rashi contradicts the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Dalet Beferish. It's the first two lines in Taisa. Tzvei Nichalei Pirish. Avgav Dahavi Psikreish, Moi De Reb Shimon, Hocha Miftim Shim Nam Elocha Shem Svicha Legufa, Tafilu B'mekalkel, not only does Reb Shimon hold by the 37 Melochas, that Ein Svicha Legufa is Potter, even by Chayvul O Mavir, that mekalkel is chayv l'Reb Shimon, so does that mean that you don't need melechas machshevas? That's what it said in the Gemara increases that they quote in the previous tesis. You don't need melechas machshevas. So melechas shein tzvicha legufa should be chayv by these two. So tesis says wrong, as it says in Sanhedrin, that Rashi Shita is wrong. Ein tzvicha legufa is not a branch of the din of melechas machshevas. It's an unrelated din. Even in all 39 malachas, he needs Svicha Legufa. Not only in the 37. Even in the two malachas where Reb Shimon says, Mekalkal is Chayv and Mesasik is Chayv, because you don't need malachas Machshevet, but you still need Svicha Legufa. So this whole shtickle, this is all Taisus Lishitosam. This is all Taisus Lishitosam, Adach Tzarek Dalar and Adach Kuvav, that Taisus disagrees with the Rashi in Exubis all over. Taisus always rejects the Rashi Shita. Rashi can't hold like Taisus. Rashi Bechrech can hold like Taisus, because Rashi holds that Gemara in Sanhedrin, we don't know what to do with that Gemara. Just like Taisus says, we don't know how to deal with the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud. So Rashi is going to have to say, I don't know how to deal with the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Peitala. It doesn't make any sense. That's a strange Gemara. Rashi holds all over in Shas that Ein Svicha Legufa is Potter because it's an extension of the Mesakin and Mekalkal topic. So Rashi would not be able to read in the Maskanas HaGemara that you potter over here, you're not chayv mishum tilis neshama because ain't svicha legufa. Ain't svicha legufa means that it's mekalkal, but we're talking over here Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that mekalkal is chayv b'chov olamavis. Ain't svicha legufa will also be chayv. That's why Rashi reads a whole different, a funny pshat. We don't know exactly what Rashi is talking about. Rashi has a whole different pshat. He says, if you have a psik reshe that's detrimental to his interests, then it's not by the Reb Shimon but psik reshe. And the reason why it's mutam and atar because it's davashen and miskaven, not because of ein svicha legufa. Taisa flew in with a different. Taisa reads the last two lines. Shaini hocha the kamed is bein neshama tvei nichla kech the leitz al tzive. It's a psikreshet the la nichalei, which is always ein svicha legufa, which is potter by all 39 malachas. Rashi can agree to that. Rashi holds by the two where you don't need malachas machshavas, ein svicha legufa will not be potter. The Rashi says, no, it's mutter over here, it's potter over here, because it's a davashen miskaven. A psik reshe that's detrimental to my interests is not chayv. A psik reshe against my interests is not chayv. And Taisus says, they never heard it's chilik. A psik reshe is detrimental, a psik reshe, the lich, it's all the same thing. Taisus doesn't agree with the Rashi. So the Rashi was not able to learn like Taisus because of his shita of ein svicha legufa. And Taisa is not able to learn like Rashi. Taisa, each one is forced into their shita because of the way they hold by Malacha Shein Svicha Legufa. Yeah.
According to Tosfos, Malacha Shein Svicha Legufa is limited to the Malachas. We don't find it in the Torah, the Kol Torah Kuvah.
That is for sure.
So
That's Eitz Vichel Gufa for sure only applies in Hilchos Shem. Taisus in Moed Katan in the first parak even points that it doesn't apply to Melecha Shvias, even a Shmita, where some of the Melechas have Shabbos Arasa, and it's Melechas HaKarka that's Aser, Eitz Vichel Gufa is still there. It's only Shabbos and Yontav, there's a din of Melecha Tzvichel Gufa the Reb Shimon.
Sounds a little bit like
Malachas
Masheves. What could be the
makor? No, so Taisa says it can't be based on Malachas Masheves, the way they machriach from the Gemara Sanhedrin. So then Ksubis, they write that it's based on Dumi the Mishkan. Since you learn out all the Malachas from the Mishkan, you learn the definition of a Malachas from the Mishkan. So there it's going to be Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa. So it's not Dumi the Mishkan. Yeah. Exactly. That's the Gemara and Kuf Taisus Anada quoted a Gemara and Kuf Gimel. Gemara Kuf Gimel talks about someone who is Mizaret Zeradim. He's pulling out his coats there. He's pulling out the weeds from the field. So the Gemara says he pulls out the weeds, it's coats there, and he has to have so much for the so Gemara says, no, but if he's pulling out the weeds, so he's helping the rest of the stuff grow. So the Chorish is the culture. So the Gemara says, "Let's see David ba'arid chavre." He's doing it in someone else's field. So it's a psikresha. He's not really interested in that. It's a psikresha de la nichalei. So that's why there's no issa deraisa. So what's the nature of that din of psikresha la nichalei and kuv gimel amaral? So there's a long skinny thesis there and kuv gimel amaral. If thesis quotes the oruch. The oruch holds that psikresha la nichalei is muta. That's what the Gemara meant to say. Psikresha la nichalei is muta. And thesis quotes many rayas that he's wrong. So Taisa says, no, the only thing we have to say, the only mitigating factor you have in a psikreshul anichale is that every case of psikreshul anichale is going to be an ein tzvicha legufa san hilcha Shabbos, it'll be pater avalos. But in kol ha-tera kula, it'll be anisa deraisa. Sof kol sof, it's a psikresha. The only place where there's a kula is in hilcha Shabbos, that it's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. But the problem is that some Rishonim quote in the name of the Aruch that he holds Psikresha de Rosh. The Rosh quotes like this: Psikresha de la Nichale is Muta only in Shabbos, and Kol HaTerakula it's not Muta. That's not the version of the Aruch that that Tesis quotes. Tesis quotes the Aruch that he based it on Gemara and Zvachim. The Gemara and Zvachim is not talking about Hilcha Shabbos. Gemara is talking if a person brings a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash and every day you bring carbonis and you. Shabbos and Yontav, you bring Kabbalah, so you bring Menchasim and his Kem Kibdav, you bring Nesach also. So what do you do with the wine? So you pour it down the pipes, you pour it in the Shisim. There was a big bowl on top. The Mishnah says there were two bowls, Shnei Svalim HaYosham HaGabi HaMizbeach, one for Nisach HaMayim, one for Nisach HaYayin, and then when you pour the wine in, or the water in the other one, so it goes down the Shisim, goes down the pipes, and it gets absorbed under the ground. There's a big puddle, a big pool of wine under the ground. So that's if you bring a carbon and you bring yayin in conjunction with the carbon. What if someone donates a bottle of wine? That's the whole carbon. So how do you know there is such a carbon? Let's say I want to donate peanuts to bring on the mizbech. So they're not going to burn peanuts. I want to burn other things. You can't donate whatever you want. Only specific carbon. So how do you know there's such a thing as donating wine? So the Mishnah establishes misnadev adam yayin. There's such a thing as donating a bottle of wine. So now the Gemara has a whole discussion in the end of Zochim. So if he donates, the whole carbon consists of wine, so what do? You pour the wine down the pipes? Maybe pouring the wine down the pipes is only good. That's Menchasim in this came. If it's a yayin that comes in conjunction with a carbon, at least something is burnt on the Mizbeach. When you burn it on the Mizbeach, the smoke rises to the skies, and it looks as if you sent an email as a gift to the Ribbono Shel. He visualizes as if the Ribbono Shel is in heaven above. He doesn't need the email, he doesn't need the airmail over here. But that's the way you envision it. As if the gift that's burnt on the Mizbeach, if the smoke goes up and the gift is sent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you don't have a carbon and the yayin is coming in conjunction with the carbon, the whole carbon consists of the yayin. So the Gemara says maybe you got to pour the wine on the fire. So that's what the Gemara starts off. You got to pour the wine on the fire. You're going to pour the wine on the fire, you're going to extinguish the fire. And there's a lav in the Chumash, Esh Tamit Tukan Al Mizbeach. The Gemara says you should sprinkle it lightly instead of pouring a whole bottle of wine on the flame and it's going to extinguish part of the flame. So you should sprinkle the wine lightly. So then the Gemara raises an issue. Wait a minute, but if you're sprinkling the wine, you may or may not extinguish part of the flame. it may be that it will extinguish the flame. Maybe that it'll evaporate before it has a chance to extinguish the flame. Are you allowed to laza harayin? Are you allowed to do that to do an action? I want to throw the sprinklings of the wine on the fire that it should evaporate and the smoke should go up and mail to heaven, a gift to the Rabbanu Shalom. But I know in advance that sprinkling the wine may or may not cause some of the flame to extinguish. So isn't that an issue of Dovshein and Miskabin? So the Gemara says it's okay. And it's a problem exactly what was the answer. So the Aruch learns it's a psikration like Nichalei. Even if it's a psikration, not only if it's a Dovshein and Miskabin, even if it's a psikration, but he's not interested in extinguishing the flame. He gets nothing out of extinguishing the flame. So psikration la nichalei, there's no prohibition of psikration. It's mutar and kol hatar kula. So that's the way most of the Rishonim present the Aruch, that he holds psikration la nichalei is mutar and Shabbos and mutar and kol hatar kula. In fact, the Rosh himself, there's a contradiction. The Rosh in one place also presents it like that, that the Aruch says psikration la nichalei is mutar and kol hatar kula. Then both Roshes are a Masechah Shabbos. And in another place, the Rosh presents the Aruch. No, he only says psikration la nichalei is mutar and hilcha Shabbos. Why should it only be mutar and hilcha Shabbos? Because there's a lack of melechas achshavas. How did psikration la nichalei? Why is it only mutar because of a lack of melechas achshavas? What is that based on? That's problematic. So the Tosfos Yeshanim in the first perek in Ksubas on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, they add on, it's printed on the side of the daf on the margin. The Shibbuk Gobetz is quoted. They say that really. Really, that version of the Aruch holds like Tosfos, that psikration la nichalei is only malacha shen tzvicha megufa, which is also midirabbanan. But if it's a psikration la nichalei in hilcha Shabbos, then he holds that it's even muta mikol vakol. If he's not, when you say malacha shen tzvicha megufa is also midirabbanan, the guy's cooking food. He knows he's cooking food. He's cooking food for practice, and he's going to throw it all out. He doesn't plan to feed the food to anybody. He's plucking off fruits from the tree. Because he's in Hakshara, he's planning to work on a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. He's plucking off the trees, plucking off the fruits, no one's going to eat the fruits. So that's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. Somebody does a malacha, ain't tzvicha legufa, that's awesome at the Rabbana. Because he knows he plans to do the malacha, but if he's really doing a different pa'ula, but it's a psikresh, it's going to cause this malacha to occur, and he couldn't care less. And this malacha that occurs, he doesn't care one way or the other. So that they never even asked at the Rabbana. Ain't tzvicha legufa is muta min atera. The only time the Chachamim prohibited midirabbanan is if that's what I'm interested in doing, this pa'ula. But if I'm not even interested in doing that, I did a different pa'ula, and this happened in Memela, so b'ki ha'gavdin, they never prohibited the melacha shein tzvicha legufa. That's a totally different version of the Aruch.
Right.
Tosfos quotes the Aruch, Tosfos Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph quotes the Aruch, that he brought it right from Kaisis Baharis. Right, that's the standard version of the Aruch, that the Aruch said psikreshul and nichalei smuter and kolatar kula. And the Rosh quotes another version of the Aruch, no, that he only said psikreshul and nichalei smuter and Shabbos and asar and kolatar kula. And Tosfos themselves are not happy with any of this. They say wrong. Everything is wrong. Psikreshul and nichalei is asar midirabbanan. The only mitigating factor that it has, mitigating feature is that psikreshul and nichalei is going to be a melacha shein tzvicha legufa. That's all. There's not going to be more than it. This whole presentation that we gave today of Shitas HaTosfos, according to Tosfos, everything here is interconnected. Their Shita by Misasek, Tudinim HaMisasek, and their Shita against Rashi by Ein Tzvicha LeGufa, this is all their version that appears here. There is a Tosfos there in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Dalet, which doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas. Tosfos and Daf Pei Dalet in Sanhedrin has a different Shita, which the Maharsha points out in Sanhedrin. And those who don't trust the Maharsha can read in the Chiddush Aran. The Chiddush Aran spells it out explicitly. It's truth or not, you don't even need the Maharsha, you don't need the Aran. If you read the Tosfos slowly and carefully, you see that Tosfos really says it. And those who don't realize on their own that Tosfos said it, so you look in the Aran and the Maharsha, they spell it out. That it's Mufurish. Tosfos there has a totally different shita regarding Reb Shimon's shita of Dovashein and Miskavin. According to Tosfos there, Reb Shimon would hold that Dovashein and Miskavin will be an Issa deraisa by Choyvul Amalvi. That's totally not the way Tosfos says by us. Totally not. Okay, maybe tomorrow we'll have to start from that. If you have a chance, look in the thesis, it's very long there. Look in the Ran. The Ran is on head and that pedalet quotes the relevant line in the thesis. See, by your thesis, you have to read it all and figure it out. Work out all the cases. Read the Ran there. You see, it's totally in contradiction with what thesis says here. Okay.